Well, how are you guys today? Good. I like that. That's good. I like hearing some feedback. I'll take talking every day all the time because it helps me. So my name's Carter, if we haven't met, and I'm one of the pastors here at Redemption Church. I'm thankful you're with us. Can we just celebrate those new members one more time? Just for celebration's sake, you know? I love that. That's so encouraging. Every member is a missionary here to the Roanoke Valley and to the ends of the earth, and so we take that very seriously. But also, I have something else that's really encouraging and exciting. Something going on in Greensboro, North Carolina today. One of our church planting partners named Nico Williams is launching Greenhouse Church today in Greensboro. Can we give it up for him and their church? Yeah. Man, we're so thankful for them. It's encouraging for us because we get to be a part of true multiplication when that happens, where we're helping him plant. So we're partnering in the mission with him by sending money, sending prayers. Eventually, we want to be able to send people on church plants like that. So that's just encouraging. And Nico, if you don't know his story, he's trying to reach one of the largest historically black university in the United States in Greensboro, North Carolina, NCA&T. And so we're really excited to participate in that mission with him. And so we just want to pray and ask God to move there in big ways and give him every opportunity to share the gospel on that college campus and around Greensboro. So I'm going to pray to start off our time together. But also, our nation's divided, isn't it? I mean, there's a lot of, anytime we have these big cultural moments come up, there's a lot of division. So I want to pray for both of those things today before we get into God's word. Let's do that together. God, I want to start by praying for Nico and his team because he's having to operate and plant a church in a very divided and divisive time in our culture, and it has been that way for a while now, but things come to a head every once in a while. And so, God, I just pray for Nico and his team that you will give them your presence today, that no matter what happens, however the launch goes, whatever it is, whatever problems they encounter, whatever distractions that are there, God, I pray that your presence would be evident with them, that they will feel, that everybody walks away from that launch today worshiping you, feeling your presence with them, God, because we know that the mission is great and the laborers are few, and you tell us to pray for more laborers in the field of harvest. So I pray for them, God. Bring them more laborers. Give them a bigger team. God, save people through them today. I pray that multiple people would get saved as a result of this launch day for them, Father. I pray that you'll bless Nico, give him wisdom, give his elders wisdom as they lead their church. Father, give him every word he needs today, and I pray that for me too. I pray for me today, God, that you would help my words, help my heart. I pray that for all of us. Let us be unified in the gospel, unified in the mission today, no matter what happens outside of these walls, what happens outside of our group of church members and who we are as a family, God. I pray that we'll be unified and have the mind of Christ. And so today, God, I pray for our culture and I pray for our United States. We need you, Father. We need you. We have these cultural moments that come up that remind us that we're in a broken world. And that it's so easy to divide us. And God, I pray that that would not be the case for our church, that no matter what's said on social media, no matter what happens in the news, no matter what tragedies occur in our nation or across the world, we would be united in you. I pray that for this church today, and I pray that for all your churches, Father. They'll know us by our love in this culture. God, I pray that we would love one another really well, even if we have to have hard conversations as a result of that love. I still pray for the unity and the love that your gospel brings. So I pray that today, help me, help us. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so you can turn to John chapter 4 today. That's where we're gonna be. You can look at that in your Bible, you're on your Bible app. We're gonna look at our next topic in this teaching series, hurt. Now I could ask you if you've been hurt before, but why? What's the point? Because I know we've all been hurt, okay? Just like last week, if you've ever felt ashamed of anything, of course we have. Have you ever been hurt by anything? Well, of course you have. It's not a question of have you, it's just a question of how and when and how bad was it, right? We live in a broken world with broken people, broken things. So of course we're going to get hurt at times, whether it's from our family, whether it's by a friend, whether it's in the church, whether it's at work, whether it's at school, whether it's on social media, whether it's some other thing. We're all going to get hurt. We've all been hurt. People let us down. We hurt. We know what that feels like. Caitlin, whatever we're calling her now, operations something or other, you know, kids team leader, whatever she is. She's important, whatever she is. Her title, it doesn't matter, but she's very important. Caitlin was telling us during sermon planning this week, during our meeting that we have when we, you know, I get feedback on the sermon and from other people, and she was saying that during the meeting, she remembers a time where she was working at another job with a group of kids. She likes to work with kids, and she got her feelings hurt because kids can be cruel, right? And they said one of the kids said something really ugly to her, she felt like. And I don't know if you remember the movie Rango that came out a few years back. I've never seen it, but apparently it's an animated film. And one of the kids told her she looked like one of the characters in it, Miss Beans. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen it or not, but we could make, let's make the comparison just to see. What do you think? Let's just see. Does she look like it? I don't know. Kids can be cruel, but sometimes truth hurts, doesn't it? I don't know. It's got the hair, got the blue dress, everything. I don't know. I mean, that's the case. You can make your own judgment there. There's a little bit of resemblance. She told me to use that, by the way, okay? Don't go tell. She told me that I could use that. She said it'll be funny, and it was funny. And I wanted it to be lighthearted to begin with this sermon because we all know that hurt is such a deeply impactful feeling that we all experience, isn't it? It's a heavy topic. It's a very heavy topic for all of us in some way, shape, or form. In some sense, it's at the bottom of all the other feelings that we experience, all the feelings that we'll talk about in this series. It's at the foundation of it. You may have been deeply hurt through something like abuse or divorce or betrayal or something else like that that is just deeply scarring to you and your soul. So we're going to walk through what it looks like to deal with your hurts today in an appropriate way, in a helpful way. You were in a series, of course, called Get a Hold of Yourself. I remembered it this week. I've gotten a hold of myself, and I know it, okay? Get a hold of yourself, because we're talking about our feelings, and this is the big idea in the entire series, if you don't remember it. If we don't get a hold of our feelings, they will get a hold of us. We've got to learn to get a hold of our feelings, get control over our feelings, so they don't control us. Our feelings aren't bad, they're good, but we have to make sure that they're not in control because they make terrible masters over us. God gave us feelings to show us what's really going on in our hearts, not to drive our hearts. Feelings are like windows into what we long for the most in our lives. Or if I could use another word to describe it, it's like a hunger that we all have. It shows us our hungers. It shows us what we're hungry for beneath the surface, because things like shame, which was our topic last week, or anger, or fear, or sadness, or any number of the feelings that we'll discuss in this series, underneath of all of that, there's this hunger for something. And those feelings are letting us know that those hungers aren't being met right now. They're not being satisfied. We want love. That's a hunger that we have. We hunger for love. We hunger for acceptance. We hunger for security. We hunger for belonging and safety. So hurt is essential for us. But it's also essentially what we feel when those hungers that we have are unmet. And so it's essential because it tells us that there's a problem. It tells us when love is withheld or when we're not accepted and that's denied from us or when safety is violated. We hurt. The question is, where do we go with that hurt? What do we do with it? How do we deal with it? And that's where John's gospel is going to give us hope today, because only Jesus can heal the wounds that nobody else can touch in our lives. Only Jesus can do it. So from the story today, this is going to be our main point that we're going to see from John chapter 4. Let Jesus heal your hurt. Let Jesus heal your hurt. That's our main point for today. We're going to look at another story about Jesus interacting with another marginalized woman who's a social outcast, moral outcast. Last week we looked at the woman caught in adultery. This week we're going to look at Jesus meeting a woman at the well. And her hurt is very evident in her story. She's clearly been hungering and thirsting for something that is not satisfying her. And yet Jesus, like we saw him do last week in John 8, offers this woman a better way as well. And he offers a solution to her hurt, a healing for her hurt that she'd never considered before. So let's turn to the text here, John chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 4. I'm going to read the story at length. You know how I like to do here. If you come around our church at all, you know I love to read the Bible. And so we're going to read the whole story. It gives us a good context. It's an engaging story. So try to engage with it this morning. Lock in for it. Let's read this together. It'll be up on the screens if you need it there as well. But this is what it says in John chapter 4, starting in verse 4. He had to go, Jesus had to go through Samaria on the way. He was on his way back to Galilee. And eventually he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. And soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at that time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. There's racism. She said to Jesus, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" And Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" And Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water." "Go and get your husband," Jesus told her. "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. Jesus said, "You're right. You don't have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth." "Sir," the woman said, "you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while the Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worship?" She takes a hard right turn, tries to deflect, doesn't she? She's a little afraid of what Jesus just said, so she deflects. Verse 21, Jesus replied, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one that you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed, it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." And the woman said, "I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." What's Jesus say? "I am the Messiah." She has a belief here about the Messiah. She's like, "Well, when he comes, he'll explain everything." And Jesus is like, "That's what I'm doing right now. I'm explaining it all to you." Man, it's a really cool story. I love this story. And there's so much we could talk about. And I hope we can come back to this story in the future so we can pick it apart a little bit more. But today, what I want to do is highlight the woman's situation that she's in and highlight her hurt, because she's clearly been hurt here by what she says to Jesus and how she interacts. Jesus sees that she's hungering and thirsting for something that her relationships and her situation in her life cannot satisfy. We can at least pinpoint a few areas of hurt in her life that she's carrying with her. The first one is that she's isolated, isn't she? Because she goes at noontime to the well, which is not when you would normally go to the well, not when women would go to the well and fill up for the day so that they could work around the house. They would go in the morning, early in the morning when it wasn't hot. So she's isolated herself because she wants to avoid all of the other people that would come to the well. She's avoiding their stares and their whispers. She wants to avoid their judgment. She doesn't want to be hurt emotionally, so she avoids them. We tend to do that when we get hurt, don't we? We can withdraw. We can self-isolate. Some of you guys know that feeling. You've stopped showing up to things because you don't want to be around. You don't want to feel the stares and hear the whispers, or what you might perceive as that anyway. So you don't show up. You keep everybody at arm's length if you do show up, so you don't talk very much. Isolation feels like self-preservation when you're doing that, but it's not. It's really just part of the hurt. It's not healing you at all. It's the symptom of a deeper problem that's going on, a hunger that you have that's not being met. She was doing that here. She was isolating herself. But then second, she was rejected and abandoned. I mean, that's her circumstance. You know, a lot of people go to this and they'll think that Jesus is judging her and saying, "See, you've been divorced five times. That's not good." Listen, we don't know her circumstances. In that culture, women could not initiate the divorce. So if she was divorced, it's because the husbands rejected her. Jesus is putting his finger on her pain. He's saying, "I know you're hurt. You've been rejected five times, and the man you're living with now won't even commit to you." He's not judging her. Read your Bible. Sorry. I'm just kidding. Sorry. Know your context, okay? Jesus is not judging her. He's having compassion on her. He's acknowledging her hurts. And in this case, even if she wasn't divorced and her husband's died, that's still a loss. He's commiserating with her, saying, I know your pain. I know you've been rejected or abandoned. Either way, it's caused deep wounds in her soul. He's acknowledging that. But also, thirdly, she was marginalized. She's a Samaritan. I mean, if you know your ancient history, and she says it right in the text, Jews despised Samaritans. There's racism, overt racism going on, right? I mean, this is the waters they're swimming in. She was born into a people that others considered half-breeds, outsiders, unworthy of value or dignity. And when your ethnicity or your background is the reason that people look down on you, that hurts. Because it tells you from them that you're not valuable. You're never going to be able to be valuable to them. You don't matter. You'll never be accepted no matter what you do, because it's just because of who you are or what you look like or what ethnicity you come from. So even though the word here, the text doesn't use the word hurting, that's clearly what this woman is. She's a hurt individual. She's hurt from her isolation that she's done for, on herself. She's hurt by her rejection or her loss at the very least. She's hurt by the marginalization and the racism. Maybe you feel her pain today. Maybe you know what that's like. We all know what it's like to be hurt in different ways, and we shouldn't minimize each other's hurt. I mean, we've all been hurt, and that scars us and wounds us deeply, no matter what those hurts look like. Some may have worse consequences than others. Some may be harder to deal with sometimes, some hurts, but everybody's got hurt. Everybody can commiserate and know what that feels like. I mean, some of you guys have been through a divorce, and you know how hurtful and painful that is. Some of you have been betrayed by a friend that you've trusted. I mean, I know what that feels like. Some of you have been cut down by your parents' harsh words that still echo in your mind. Others have been overlooked or excluded at work, and that hurts you because you feel like you've deserved, you've worked hard. Some have been wounded by racism and prejudice, and I know that for a fact. Sadly, some of you have been hurt by the church. Now, no, these are people that are supposed to be safe. They're supposed to preach words of life and joy, the healing over you, and instead they've wielded it like it's a weapon, and it's hurt you. Listen, wherever you are, you know what it feels like to be wounded. You know what it feels like to be hungry for safety and security and acceptance and love. But at times, the problem is, like this woman at the well, we may try to deal with our pain and our hurt in the wrong ways. Self-isolate or do whatever else we do. Deflect from the truth. We don't want to hear it. We close our ears off to the truth or whatever it might be. The Samaritan woman tried to heal her hurt by chasing things like relationships or allowing this to continue to come to define her, or self-isolating from all these other relationships, hoping to find love or acceptance or safety that her soul craved, but each attempt leaving her wounded more and more and more. Listen, this is the problem that we all face. We all face this problem. We try to heal ourselves with things that only hurt us more. That's the universal human problem. We all try to heal ourselves, and it ends up digging us deeper and deeper in the hole. We hurt ourselves more and more. We numb the pain that we feel with alcohol or drugs. And it might start subtly with just a few drinks, or we just feel like we got to release steam at the party, or whatever it might be. And it snowballs into something that's out of control, that takes us way further than we ever wanted it to take us. Some use sex or pornography or masturbation, hoping for intimacy. By doing these things that push other people away, that hurt us mentally and emotionally and spiritually, ends up making us feel emptier and more alone than ever. Some isolate and build walls of self-protection like the woman here, or some bury themselves in distraction, whether it's the endless scrolling on social media and all of that, entertainment, binge watching, shopping, spending money, working many, many hours so that we can feel like we're okay, and all of that, we just avoid the ache in our heart. Some lash out in anger, and they let bitterness harden into vengeance and violence. And that's what we've seen in our culture this past week, isn't it? Somebody disagreed with someone so much, and they were hurt by maybe his words so much that they ended up assassinating him instead of having a conversation with him and loving him. See, hurt left unchecked turns into hate. It drives nation against nation. It drives white against black. It drives brother against brother. It drives even family member against family member. And I mean Christian family member against Christian family member. It fuels the rhetoric of social media that we see that's hateful and divisive. The anger that some have when their chosen lifestyle is not affirmed. The malice that we have toward those that we see as our enemies. Even enemies of truth. I don't care how justified your anger is. If you got malice toward somebody, you're trying to deal with your hurt in your own way, brother. See, Jesus tells us things like revenge is not the way. Violence is not the way. He says if somebody slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. He's saying, man, if somebody hurts you, you extend a hand of love and compassion. You don't fight violence with violence. You don't fight hurt with hurt. If somebody hurts you, you don't hurt them back. You extend the hand of friendship over and over and over again. See, the thing about hurt is it can do two things to us. It can either harden us or it can heal us. Hurt can harden us and harden our hearts toward others, those who've hurt us, or it can be a part of the healing process if we learn to give it to Jesus. Left unchecked, hurt hardens us. Again, that's what we've seen in our culture. That's what we see all the time. Mass shooters, yet they're hurt individuals and they're willing to hurt other people. Racially motivated shootings or killings. They're hurt individuals who are willing to hurt other people. Political assassinations. They're a hurt person willing to hurt somebody else. We all know the saying, hurt people, but listen, that is not a Christian response. I don't care how deeply it hurts you as a Christian, hurting somebody else does not help the situation. Your heart's being hardened if that's where you're at. It makes us numb. It makes us cynical. Makes us destructive toward ourselves or toward others. We know there's a problem. That's what I'm telling you. If you're willing to hurt somebody else with your words, or you're willing to lash out in violence, you know there's a problem. There's a problem in your heart. But listen, when we bring our hurt to Jesus, it opens the way for healing because he will deal with it for us. That's this Chip Dodd's insight in his book, The Voice of the Heart. He says hurt is actually a signal that's meant to call us toward healing and restoration. It points to the reality that something is wrong and it needs to be fixed, and we actually don't have the tools to fix it ourselves. You only hurt because something that you love or you need has been threatened or taken away. And that means every hurt is also revealing that hunger, that underlying hunger for safety, love, acceptance, and all these different things. And so that's the next thing you can write down. Hurt exposes what we hunger for. It exposes that. It exposes where our heart's at and what we need. When we try to fill that hunger with substitutes, it will destroy us, and it will lead to violence, and it will lead to us trying to hurt others and lash out with our words or our actions. This is what C.S. Lewis said in his book, Mere Christianity. You've probably heard this quote before if you're a Christian. If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. We have deep hungers that are not being satisfied by anything in this world because we have something that we're hoping for and longing for that's not of this world. It's eternal. We need our hungers to be met in some other way. Earthly pleasures cannot heal our deepest wounds. They can only point beyond themselves to something greater that we need. Our hurt is meant to awaken us to a hunger for something greater. It's meant to awaken us to the fact that we have a longing that only God can fulfill, something eternal. It's not of this world. And that's exactly what Jesus shows this woman in this passage, isn't it? She's trying to find her fulfillment in all these things, and she's dodging and ducking because she doesn't want to be exposed. Her shame. I mean, we could have easily talked about her with shame as well, right? Like we did last week. But here, he sees her hurts, and he tells her, he offers her something that will heal her. She's been drinking from empty wells all her life, but Jesus offers her living water. He offers to satisfy her deepest hunger, to heal her deepest hurt in a way that nothing in this world ever could. here's the gospel answer that we need to know today. Jesus heals our deepest hurt. Jesus heals our deepest hurt. You may not realize it, but your deepest need is at a soul level. Nothing in this world is going to make you feel any better. Not a physical level. I mean, sure, physical pain's bad, mental pain, all these different emotional pain, that's all bad. We got to take those things to Jesus. But there's a deeper problem that we all have, and those are just smoke to the fire. And the fire is the real problem burning in our soul. And it's that we've separated ourselves from the God who loves us, that can give us healing, that can help us in our hurt. We've wounded ourselves through sin to the point of spiritual death. Sin is simply rejecting God to satisfy ourselves. And the moment we reject God and His way of living in our lives, we try to heal ourselves from our hurts that we've experienced. The moment we do that, we reject God. Because He's offering, He wants to be present with you. He wants to heal your hurts for you and with you. Whenever we don't live His way, we've rejected Him personally. But see, Jesus came to heal that broken relationship. He lived the perfect life in our place. He never once hurt His relationship with God. He never once hurt anybody else. He was a perfect human being, living the way that we all should live. But then on the cross, Jesus bore the ultimate hurt so that we could be restored. We hurt Him with our sin, with our rejection. We've hurt Him. We've rejected the God who created us. And Jesus felt every bit of that pain. He took every bit of that hurt onto Himself. He was abandoned. He was betrayed. He died in our place. He was hurt by the very people that He came to save. We slapped Him in the face, so to speak. Slapped Him on His cheek. He turned the other cheek and offered His hand of salvation to us. By rising from the dead, He shows us that He alone satisfies the hungers of our heart and gives us the security and safety and love that we've always wanted from the God who created us, who wants to be your Father today. This isn't just wishful thinking. Listen to Jesus in John chapter 6. It's very similar to what Jesus offered the woman at the well here. He said to His followers, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to Me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in Me will never be thirsty. I will satisfy them." What does He mean by that? How can Jesus satisfy? Is it some ideological, nebulous thing out there in the world that we don't understand? What does He mean? He means that when you come to Him relationally, He will satisfy you. You know, every single person knows that kind of relationship. You know how I know that? Because every single one of you is a son or a daughter. And if you had parents who loved you and treated you well, then you know what it feels like to have that acceptance and to have that love and to have everything that you need to have security in your life. And if you didn't have parents that were like that, you know it wasn't right. You know something was wrong. You know that you needed that acceptance and that love and that security, and you didn't get it. Either way, your parents will show you that you have a greater need for security and love and acceptance. And God is telling you, as your good Father, He's offering it to you today. He wants that for you. And if you relate to Him in that way, He'll give it to you. If you put your faith in Him today, He will give you that security and that He will meet your hungers where they are, and He'll satisfy you. Jesus is the bread of life. He is the living water. That's what He wants for us. John says here that He had to go through Samaria. He had to go through Samaria in order to get back to Galilee. So that we know that this interaction with this woman at the well, it was not by happenstance. We know that Jesus intentionally went to her to heal her hurts. We know that He wanted to go to her. And that's what He's done with each one of us. He wanted to come to the cross. He wanted us to be made right with God. The Son of God went out of His way to meet this hurting woman, to cross barriers of ethnicity, gender, morality, not to cancel her, but to cancel her sin and to heal her. And with compassion, He named her pain. And with gentleness, He called out her pursuit of empty wells and gave her a better way. But with conviction, He offered something that would satisfy her. And He went beneath the surface level hunger and healed her soul level hurt. He's the rock of safety. He is the living water that refreshes. He is the bread of life that satisfies. So when we take Him into ourselves by faith, we won't hunger and thirst for anything that can hurt us anymore. Why would we? We'll feel totally loved, totally secure, totally accepted. And when somebody hurts us again or something hurts us again, which inevitably will in this life, won't it? We'll get hurt, something will happen, and it will be painful. This is going to be our response. Paul says it in 2 Corinthians 4. When we're pressed on every side by troubles, we're not going to be crushed. We're perplexed. We're not driven to despair. We're hunted down, but we're never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, and we're never going to be destroyed. That's going to be the response that we have. Yeah, it's going to hurt. There's going to be pain. And yet it won't be the end of us because our hurts have been healed in Jesus himself. When we have the eternal security of the gospel, it changes how we deal with the hurts that we experience in this life. So here's the invitation for us today, to bring our deepest wounds to Jesus. And let me go back to our main point. Let Jesus heal your hurts. Let him heal you today. Apply everything that you need to apply to the cultural situation that we're in. Every time something bad comes up that hurts your heart, every time somebody betrays you or says something ugly to you, every time things don't go your way and you get hurt, don't let that hurt define you. Let Jesus heal your hurts. Let him define you. A huge part of becoming a mature person is learning how to bring your hurt to Jesus instead of hiding from it, or instead of trying to hide it from others. So the question for us today is, what are you doing with your hurt? Are you letting it drive you deeper into isolation? Or are you letting it point you to the one who can satisfy your soul hunger? Where do you feel most hurt right now? Ask yourself that question. What hunger is it pointing to in your life? For love or for acceptance or for security or something else? Where do you feel most hurt right now? I think these are things that are worth considering. So let me give you a couple steps forward. Alex, if you want to go ahead and come up and start playing, because we're going to respond together. I want to give you a couple of steps. Here's the first one. I don't have a slide for it, but choose to let somebody into your story. Choose to let somebody into your hurts today. Choose to share. Don't self-isolate. Don't do that. Risk love, again, for authentic community. Get into a community or a DNA group here at our church and bring others into that pain with you so that you can hear them speak the gospel truth over you that is going to heal you over and over and over again the more that you hear that. But also know that your story of pain can be redeemed when you take it to Jesus. And it can be used as a doorway for somebody else's healing. God can use your pain and your hurt to share the gospel with the world. In particular, it can lead others to Jesus in a way that maybe nothing else can. Is your hurt worth it to you enough to let God use it for his mission? Listen to the way that the Samaritan woman at the well's story ends. I didn't read it earlier, but let me just read this to you from the end of it. I'll skip around, but this is what it says. Many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, "He told me everything I ever did." Many Samaritans. And when they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world." There were so many people that got saved because of her hurts. And Jesus came in and he healed her hurts for her. And she couldn't help but tell everybody about it. She couldn't help but take it to the people around her. The very people that she was afraid would hurt her even more, that she self-isolated from, she stopped that. And she went to them and she shared the healing that she'd found, the living water that she wanted to share with them. See, God redeems our hurt, not only to heal us, but to make us a witness in this broken and hurting world of his healing power. Instead of numbing yourself with scrolling late at night, maybe you need to spend some time praying and hearing from Jesus by reading his word at the end of the day. Or when memories of rejection resurface, where somebody's betrayed you or treated you poorly or lied about you, and you rehearse that over and over in your mind, instead, rehearse Jesus' acceptance rather than reliving that pain. Or when you're wounded by others and their words hurt you, man, let God's word be the louder voice that you listen to. Let him define you instead of what they say. When somebody is taken from you in a tragic way, whether it's through accident or circumstances or even through violence, man, turn to Jesus to be your comfort and your rock. And his presence with you will be enough. He promises that. Plenty of us in this room have experienced it if you need to talk to somebody about it. just like I did last week, I want to share with you another story from one of our other members, with their permission, shared with their permission. And this is Trina's story. I know, we were actually supposed to have a video last week, obviously, if you didn't realize that. I didn't know it wasn't playing. You can go look that up on our sermon last week. We were able to put it on the YouTube sermon. So if you wanted to look at my story there, you're welcome to do that. But this is Trina's story. And she gave us permission to share this, and she wrote these. These are her words. So I want to read you her story of hurt. Trina said, "I knew my marriage was going to be difficult within the first 6 months. The first time I realized the depths of the difficulty was during my Bible study as I read Matthew 5:44, love your enemies and pray for those who hurt you. The scripture was my wake-up call that something was very wrong. How was I supposed to pray for my enemy when I could not even pray for my husband? Hurt upon hurt had been building for years, and after 8 years of struggle, counseling, and serious physical altercation that took place between me and my husband, I walked away. The hurt had been compounding with various forms of abuse. Watching my boys hurt on a regular basis compounded my hurt. Some in the church were supportive, compassionate, and understanding. Others were condemning and judgmental and used scripture to continue the hurt. It took some time to wrestle through forgiveness. I prayed for a heart of forgiveness. I verbally said I forgave, but until Jesus entered in and revealed what true forgiveness is, it was elusive for me. Forgiveness did not mean that the hurt didn't happen or that there would be reconciliation. Forgiveness meant that I had to release my husband and others into the same love, mercy, and grace that Jesus had offered me. And finally, I was able to pray for my husband that God would have mercy and show grace and love to him. And that is when I found freedom from hurt in the forgiveness of those who had hurt me." I mean, her story is very powerful because she was very vulnerable to share her hurt, obviously, and that we're thankful for that. But the only thing that enabled her to forgive and to continue to forgive, right? Because when somebody hurts you, it's very hard to forgive. You got to constantly take that forgiveness over and over and over again to Jesus. But Jesus' blood, his sacrifice for her, enabled her to forgive someone that she could have very easily hated, and we all would understand why. What hurt do you have today that you need to take to Jesus, that you've been allowing to harden your heart, and instead you need him to heal you from it? So that hurt doesn't control you anymore. It doesn't control how you have relationships. It doesn't control how you say things on social media, the little posts that we write. It doesn't control how you treat other people to look like the person that's hurt you or whatever it might be. What do you need to bring to Jesus today? I want to lead you in a response time because the good news does demand a response. So I want to encourage you today, stop hiding from your hurt and start hungering for Jesus instead. He offers you living water, and he is that bread of life that satisfies. So don't keep letting that hurt control you. Give yourself to him today instead. Let him control you. He is your authority. He wants to be your good authority that you can trust, that gives you security and love and acceptance. He doesn't compound your hurt. He's always going to be safe for you. He's never going to hurt you, and he's always going to accept you and give you the security that you need eternally. So if you've never put your faith in him today, I want to call you to do that. Put your faith in Jesus. He's waiting for you. But if you recently put your trust in Jesus today, or maybe it's last week or in the last few months, I want to call you to take your next step of obedience. I want to call you to get baptized. We're going to be baptizing here next week, and you can see that we have baptism cards on the seats for you. I want you to fill that out. If you've never been baptized as a believer, and you know you started following Jesus for the first time, and you want to share it with the world, you're not afraid, you're not ashamed. You see that he's healed your hurts. Baptism is an outward symbol of an inward reality that we've been transformed by God. We've been healed by him, and we want to share it with everyone so that they can be healed with him as well. And so if you've never done that as a believer, we want to encourage you. Fill out that card, and you can drop it in the buckets on the way out today. One of our staff members will follow up with you because this is the first step of obedience to Jesus. As you follow him, you want to be obedient to him. Not out of obligation so that he will save you or so that you can, you know, make him feel good about saving you. He feels good about it. He feels good about healing you. This is because you want to. When you have a relationship with somebody who's sacrificed their very life for you, of course you want to follow them. Of course you want to be obedient to them. So I want to encourage you to be obedient to him in baptism if that's the next step that you need to take. And then for the rest of us, I mean, you may need to pray today. Come up front to our symbolic altar and ask God to really move in your heart and your life, move in our country, bring unity through his church. The only way that the hurts are going to be healed is through the unity of God's people, period. I don't care what else happens in the culture. We got to be unified here. We got to have the mind of Christ. We got to be able to forgive one another when we hurt one another. You don't think that I know that my words can hurt some of you? You don't think that I know that I speak in a semi-public forum where people might call me a bigot, or they might call me sexist, or they might call me draconian or something like that because of the words that I say and the gospel that I preach? It's very evident, very, very prominent on my mind today and this week. And I want you guys to know that's the very danger that you run in your lives as well if you preach the gospel to people. We all have that. But Jesus is my King. And I want to give my life to him because I know that he can heal the hurts that people are experiencing. Even if they try to hurt us back, I'm going to turn the other cheek. I'm going to extend that hand of grace one more time because Jesus did the very same thing for them and for me and for you. So believers in the room, maybe you need to pray and ask God to help you have that heart today and have that mind. You need to ask him to forgive you for ways that you've tried to lash out and hurt others because they've hurt you. Maybe you need to ask him to help you with that. I don't know what your story is, but let's pray and let's obey today and let's respond in these ways. I'm going to pray now and then you guys can come up front and pray or respond however you need to respond. God, it's a heavy topic for me today. It's a heavy week in a lot of ways. And God, I'm always at a loss for words. And yet, God, you're so good. And you've called us together today to be here for one another and to love one another, even in the midst of our hurts. And so, God, I pray for healing all over this room. And I pray that, God, as we're healed and we come to the great healer, that we'll be able to share that healing with others across this valley and across the world to the ends of the earth, God. We need your Holy Spirit to be present with us today. We need you, God, to come into our hearts and to show us where we've been hardened. God, I pray that you'll do that for each one of us, that we won't leave here without responding to you and your word. God, I'm so thankful for the grace that you show us. I'm so thankful, God, that you have extended to us your other cheek. Even though we've spit in your face, we've slapped it. We've put you on a cross by rejecting you. God, thank you that your wrath wasn't poured out on us. It was poured out on Jesus instead. And I pray, God, that if there's somebody in this room that doesn't believe that yet, that doesn't follow Jesus, I pray they believe right now, today, that they would put their trust in a good Father who wants to give them everything that they've ever needed. God, I pray that they'll repent and turn to you. And I pray that for each one of us too. Help me to repent today, God, of the ways that I know that I've let you down and disgraced your name in ways that I probably can't even see. God, I'm thankful for Jesus' forgiveness, but I want to humble myself before you and remember that forgiveness costs something. So God, help me to remember what Jesus has done for me today and to live in a posture of thankfulness and a posture of humility as a result. I pray that for all of us today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks so much for listening with us today. We hope that it was an encouragement to you. But you know, we don't see this as a replacement for gathering with other believers in a local church context. So if you don't have a local church, we would encourage you to plug in with one wherever you are. And if you're in Roanoke, Virginia, we'd love to invite you to plug in with us here at Redemption Church. And you're welcome anytime to gather with us. But you can check us out online at our website, redemptionroanoke.com. You can look for other content or resources there. But thanks again for listening.